Boom 2 on site, boomed a deep voice that had the strength of the man that plays Santa in the local Christmas pageant and the gentleness of Mr. Rogers. "Go ahead and have a seat," he said. All 40 participants took a seat in a massive circle as the man introduced himself. "Good evening, friends. My name is Bill, and I'm the clinical director here. Listen, I know this sounds crazy, but by this time next week, these 40 people who you don't know will become some of the dearest friends you have ever made, and you won't be able to imagine your life without them." "Okay, Bill, that's cute, but can I go home now?" I was thinking. The first thing we did was go around the circle to introduce ourselves and explain why we were there or why we thought we were there. There were only two rules. For the entire week, we were not allowed to say our last name, and we were not allowed to say what we did for a living. I found this fascinating and immediately began to try to figure out what everyone else did. As people went around the circle, my pastoral heart could not help but feel that I could help these people. They simply needed what I have. They were so sad. Maybe I was there to help them. When my turn came up, I told everyone the story that my dad had told me right before I arrived, that I was there to kill the spider. I have to confess, I didn't give my dad credit, so everybody immediately thought that I was a philosopher. At the end of the Kumbaya circle, Bill said, "Now I'm going to introduce you guys to your therapist for the week. You will be divided into four groups of 10. You will be spending a large part of every day with that group. This will not be one-on-one therapy. All therapy will happen in the confines of your small group." The first therapist looked like a shorter version of Cameron Diaz. She was super nice and bubbly, and she called the names of her 10. I was not one. The next therapist looked to be straight out of Woodstock. She had the most epic silver hair in a braid that reached down to the back of her legs. When she spoke, it was filled with depth and peace. I threw up a quick prayer that she would be my therapist. Nope. Next was a woman who was probably the oldest in the room. She was 70 or so with bright red hair and rings on every finger. Her name was Nancy, and she looked exactly like how I imagined a gypsy fortune teller would look. And when Nancy opened her mouth, it was not a peaceful tone. It was like a bossy know-it-all kind of tone. Please God, not her. I don't want to be in her group. 7 names into her group of 10, mine had not been called. But the 7 people I picked in the room who annoyed me were. And then I was number 8. Thanks, God. I really appreciate your looking out for me on this. This is never going to work, I thought, shaking my head. I have to admit, God must have a wicked sense of humor to drop me in a group with all the people I didn't really want to spend time with. Can you imagine? Have you ever been in a situation when you were forced to deal with someone you didn't get along with and saw no way out? Maybe it's a coworker in your office who makes your life difficult by not carrying their own weight. It could be a person at church who tries to run everything and forces their opinion on everyone else. You might have a friend who is always a train wreck, who brings their drama into everyone else's life, asks for advice even though they're never going to take it, and makes everyone around them miserable. We all have those people around us. Heck, we might even be that person in our circle. They keep us distracted from figuring out what we need to be fixing in ourselves. They either keep us so busy helping them sort out their issues that we neglect our own. Or we are fooled into thinking that, by comparison, we aren't that bad, so maybe we don't need to do any more work. I was beginning to think that either I would grow a ton by learning how to deal with difficult people, can you say false piety, cobweb? Or I wouldn't make any progress being stuck with them, the self-pity, cobweb. Bill announced, "You guys have 30 more minutes with your phones, then we're going to take them until the end of the week. You will survive, I promise." So I called Heather from my room and told her I felt God had sent me there because I really might be able to help some of these people. She immediately responded, "You are not there to fix them. You are there to fix you." Why does she always do this? She's the most gentle spiritual sage you will ever meet. Her comment took me sprinting down a memory lane that I had not run down before. How many times had I done this? How many times had I ignored the plank in my eye for the plank in another's eye? Not in a sinful or negative way. It was always in the name of ministry. For more than 15 years as I was on staff at churches, this was the conundrum I found myself in. I spent years helping other people while ignoring the glaring symptoms of unhealth in my own life. If you are in any